Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The ultimatum. Now, it seems to be, from my understanding of it, this ultimatum was led by Donald Trump and followed by Benjamin Netanyahu. Is that the case? Is that just window dressing? What does this all mean? Are we pushing towards a certain deliberate outcome here? To me, it's all a little bit confusing. Well, Lieutenant Colonel Eyal Dror, he is a reservist. He's a founder and commander of the Good Neighbor Project. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us again. How are you?
Great morning. I'm fine. I know that we will talk about Gaza, but we are amazing. I know that your audience realized during the times that I was interviewed that we are out of home. So I have something to announce. After 16 long months, we came back home last weekend.
Wow.
So we are now raging the home and trying to come back a normal life again in the northern border.
That's incredible.
So very exciting moment.
Yeah, and just tell us a bit more about it. Do they look like they were? Have things been destroyed? Are your neighbors back? Just give us a sense of what you came back to.
Okay, so my community, there is approximately 1,100 people that has been evacuated. During the war, only 5% of the people were living here, the people that are supposed to guard their community. Today, we came back, but we are now less than between 15 to 20%, not more than that. So most of the people didn't come yet. We decided to leave the hotel to start again. We know, we trust the IDF from the security point of view, which was, of course, a big fear a couple of months ago. After the consequences of the war with Hezbollah, we are truly calm. And when we got some answers for the education system, for the sisters, for the children, because this is the biggest challenge for all of us in the North coming back, what is going to be with the education system. When we got statements that it's going to reopen, we decided, I don't know if it's a risk, but we decided to come back to share with the country that we trusted. And we came back. The home, of course, it's like moving an apartment after so long at home. The community itself, although it didn't suffer much from the wall, but there was some damages, so we're fixing it on the public areas, on the agriculture areas that we have. But the kibbutz is okay, and in 2 months, I hope that 75% will arrive and the North will rise again, like I can say.
Please God. And that's amazing. You know, just wonderful to hear that living in a hotel. How many months were you in a hotel?
So we've been 16 months. When October 7th started, I was called to my unit. My wife left home, and after 8 days, it was the official announcement of the country that you cannot back home. We chose to live in a hotel because most of the time I wasn't with the family. I was on my reserve service. So yes, I told them that it is better to have like a safe place in the hotel and not to find for other adventures, renting another apartment, etc. So 16 months in a hotel. I told my wife that, okay, we don't need any hotels during the next 10 years.
Absolutely. Well, it destroys that concept for you. There's no doubt. Okay, so now let's just talk about the situation with regard to Gaza, the ultimatum, the fact that there seems to be talk of significant military action again. Give us a sense of what's happening here.
So I would say that, again, I cannot judge whether the agreement itself was the best agreement that Israel could have achieved after the consequences of the total defeat of Hamas. It's almost, well, I will not call it total victory, but from military point of view, Hamas has been defeated. Yes, there is still terrorists, there is a little bit more weapon, but Hamas is not organized anymore as an army. So there is a negotiation whether this was the best agreement. However, when the agreement has been signed, the first step of the agreement, we saw how Hamas made provocation almost every time that they had to release Israeli hostages. Every time they did the provocation, in the first, I remind you, in the first couple of times, Israel pushed. Israel didn't go back, and it was like the release of Arbel Yehud, which was a little bit earlier than it was supposed to be. And today, when Hamas is doing another provocation, I don't have any other word to describe it. They're saying about humanitarian aid, it's provocation. And I do believe that the message was loud and clear. If hostages will not be released on Saturday, it means that there isn't any agreement anymore and we're going back to war. Unfortunately, it might be sound very un-Western to say that, but this is the only language that those people, those terrorists, understand. You cannot blink your eyes. You should act with power from a power position. And yes, they will show the consequences if the hostages will not be released. I do believe that this is not their goal. They need this ceasefire. Israel needs a ceasefire, of course, because we want to release our hostages. Hamas need it in order to trying to rebuild its abilities. So I do believe that they are like gambling. They're trying to get some more achievements. And I do hope that they will get nothing. And I hope and I do believe that later on this week, on Saturday, we will see the release of the hostages and the continue of the part of that agreement without getting more into what is going to be on stage two and three. But I do believe that this stage will be completed. I'd also remind you that one of their thoughts, I think it is, it's after the release of the last three hostages. If some of the Israelis were saying after the first releases that the hostages seems to be, of course, from mental and for psychology tortured, they have been in hell. However, it looked from the physical point of view that they are okay, not in a good shape, but when last three has been released. And it was even published in the world that it was like it's almost Holocaust survivors. So for Hamas felt a little bit uncomfortable because, again, they are taking the power from publicity. And when now they has been criticized, they had to walking in another angle. And it means that, okay, we will, if the world would continue to talk about Holocaust survivor, okay, we need to find a solution. We are not going to release. Now all the world is talking about that and about Trump's statement.
So it moves, so it shifts the conversation away. One of my worries is that if you looked at the state of the survivors that came out on the weekend, and we've seen a slow deterioration of the different groups that have come out, could the fact that Hamas is saying this mean that, God forbid, there aren't any more living hostages?
No, I do believe that there is still live hostages. I do believe that the next, because again, until now, women has been released. Now it's the turn of the men. And I do believe, I do know that the behavior for the men was worse. So we will see live people, but there will be coming. I pray that not, but I'm realistic. They will come in that situation. And again, we should remember Hamas is shaving its power from publicity. It's 100%. All a kind of a psychological war, and they know exactly what is the situation of the hostages, and I do believe that they are really a little bit afraid from that. So this is the tension that Hamas
is dealing with on their own. Right. We do need to leave it there. Lieutenant Colonel Yael Dror, wonderful to have to know that he is back at home in the north.